Blog Talk Radio.
Hour. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I'm Kristen, and we're here to do another show, obviously. It's Wednesday, Neil.
Wednesday, yeah.
Wednesday, our
middle
second
of the week.
Show of the week. Well, we've got a couple callers in the queue, but today we're going to be talking a little bit about past lives and the number of past lives that one has on the planet Earth. But first, I want to let everybody know how to get in touch with us. You may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the follow button under the Neil Baker Psychic profile, and you can join us, excuse me, on Facebook and on Twitter. Neil, it's interesting because there are many different opinions, I think, if you talk to a handful of psychics, you know, a sample group on how many past lives that there are. And, you know, I've heard some kind of outlandish things that people come back as, like, you know, a cricket, that we have thousands of past lives, or, I mean, even hundreds of past lives. I'm not so sure that, you know, we come back as insects. It seems a little odd to me.
Well, Jiminy did. Animals, insects, mammals, reptiles, it's a different category of energy, obviously, than what a human being's energy is. We come from the same mass of energy in that regard. The dust of our existence evolves into different shapes and forms and manners and brains. So we do come from a same common cosmic dust. And so in that regard, we join in union with, sounds a little bit redundant, but we're in union with all forms of life. And we have a little bit of the DNA of all animals within us. So to say that we have been a specific animal, or that animals evolve into people, well, I'm not so sure about that, although when you look at some cats and dogs, you kind of wonder if there's a human element in there. If you look at chimpanzees or orangutans or whatever, you kind of wonder, but I think that we share a certain common gene, if you will, a certain common origin of existence, life, vibration, emotions, mm-hmm. that naturally graduate with each succeeding species. But to say that we literally were an animal, I don't know, when people looked at me, they've seen me morph into wolves and owls and eagles. I've seen people morph into animals. I think we do somewhat hold some kind of primitive connection to lower forms,
right,
if
but
you want to call it that.
I guess what my question is that, you know, like in my next, if I should come back to the planet, God forbid I should come back to the planet, but if I should, would I, you know, be coming back as like a bumblebee?
I don't think so. No.
So, I mean, are people reincarnated as insects? I mean, we're, you know, animals, we're talking a little bit lower on the scale being an insect than being like, you know, a pampered house dog. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know. You know, when people get mad, they call each other cockroaches or fleas. You're no better than the rats. You know, I mean, we allude to these things because they're lower forms of life, and the more degrading, the better when we're angry or hostile. To say that we literally can come back. Jesus threw a bunch of demons into the bodies of pigs, and they all went storming into the water and drowned. I'm not really one to say that we have or have not been some form of animal in the past life, or we can come back and be an animal. I've talked to animals, along with Dr.
Doolittle.
And I know
you talk to insects, too, so I don't mean to insult insects.
I do. There is a vibration.
Because I know you have communication
with
all different kinds of species.
Well, you've seen it yourself. They'll come right up to me, look at me, linger around me. I mean, it's weird. But you know, that's a uniqueness that I think is in the form of a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
I think St. Francis...
Of Assisi
was one that spoke to animals. I think Noah spoke to animals. I mean, I think for that matter, all things great and small, I forget his name, but yes, indeed, the horse whisperer, the dog whisperer, we have a link. So there's nothing new about that.
Right.
But to say that our soul has been in an animal or an insect or a mammal or a reptilian state, I'm open to the idea, because I do believe that there are certain areas of existence where those two have sort of transferred energies. But I don't know, you know, in the ascending or descending order of our evolution, we get to the idea of what are our past lives, how many have we had, who have we been, why do we keep coming back. Someone this morning I was giving a reading to, and she made note of the fact that somebody she knew was told by a channeler that they have had 200 past lives. And the person now goes around claiming, I've had 200 past lives.
Wow.
Well, name them. Tell me what they are, what you did, and why over 200 years, how much karma you collected over those 200 years. I mean, were some of those past lives...
Well, I mean, 200 years.
200 past
lives. I mean, 200 years. No, it would be far in excess
of
200 years.
You know, maybe they died when they were 5 or 6. Maybe they, you know, there's been successions of past lives that have been brief in physical breath. They could stretch back indeed from the beginning of the pre-dawn civilization, prehistoric days, caveman days. But... I'm always leery of someone who professes to have had 200, 300 past lives until they tell me what they are, or if they're not just stream of consciousness making them up, or they're deluded into thinking they've had these past lives. I think past lives are each one's kind of special. You just don't, they're just not like a bunch of popcorn popping out of a machine. I've had 200 past lives, and we just keep popping them out. Well, no. A past life is conditioned by karma. There's a certain energy in that past life. You produce a certain amount of transcendent energy, a certain amount of ego energy, a certain amount of karmic energy. And each lifetime is supposed to be on a graduating state of mind and presence of consciousness. So when we evolve off the planet, we have basically embraced the wide scope of humankind. Our intelligence and our mind and emotions have become equipped to understand and grasp and empathize with all cultures. We are not just white, we're not just black, we're not just Asian, we're not just of one portion of humankind.
So
we are evolved creatures, and we're done with the planet, basically.
So part of our experience is experiencing life in many facets, in many cultures, being rich, poor, black, white. We have to envelop the entire breadth of existence in our multiple past lives before we're able to transcend.
That's my understanding.
Transcend off the planet.
That's what I've been told.
There
are probably, what I've seen and experienced in my journeys into the astral realm is that there are exceptions whereby the absolute compassion of a human being can supersede every corner of the globe. So if you are a person that has a conviction for the world, have a concern for the world, but you just in one lifetime haven't stepped upon every part of the globe. Well, that doesn't mean that, you know, every single square foot of the globe has to be transversed upon before you can transcend the planet.
Right.
But there is a certain consciousness that I think is very valuable. And the idea the idea is that we don't come back and we brag about how many past lives we've had unless we're here and we're doing some significantly important work. And I just don't mean the kind of work where we say, oh, you know, I celebrate the moon and the sun and it's Solstice Day and I'm celebrating that and I'm lighting candles and I'm meditating and when is my next boyfriend coming? You know, am I going to get that house? And, oh, you know, I chant every day. That is not this ascending. That has nothing to do with ascending. Those are basically nice attributes. There's nothing wrong with them. But it doesn't have anything to do with absolutely lifting your soul off the planet for the last time. That demands a certain attention to other kinds of details that are far more reaching than just one's egocentric universe and what you think you're doing in it. So to me, there's a great, the idea of ascending the planet, there's a great promotion of attitude, skills, creativity, output, altruism. All of these things are very, very important before we even begin to analyze how we can ascend the planet. The other part is it's a trick because you have to kind of let go of the planet. As much as you love the planet and as much as you live in it and appreciate it, you have to kind of learn to let go of it and prepare yourself for a far more reaching journey than just what our gravitational pull does in terms of defining what is the Earth and what are its origins and what are its surrounding orbits. It's much more deeper than that.
So there's a balance of detachment while having to remain a spiritual being on the planet and being actively involved in the goings-on of the planet Earth. I mean, it's a balance. It's a balance. Neil, you were going to say something,
well,
but I do have a question.
I want to highlight the idea that having past lives is something I firmly believe in, of course. And various past lives is something that's very entertaining and enlightening to my mind and my belief pattern. So I'm not saying that we don't have past lives. That would be ludicrous. We do. And we have been in various forms in those past lives.
But there's an order to the past lives. There's a line of energy in all those past lives that connect them and ultimately, hopefully, will lead to our ascension from off the planet.
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything that our souls are a collection of past lives. But we can really measure the authenticity of our past lives by how we are operating in the world. Given, if you're going to boast that you've had 200 past lives, you better be able to show that you've had those past lives. That means in the various forms of languages that you speak, in the various forms of knowledge that you have, what you're doing with your life that is not just sheer egocentric behavior. I mean, there's got to be a more tangible, definable platform upon which one boasts that they've had all these past lives, or else it's just ludicrous circus talk. You're just a clown, really.
Well, my question is, I guess, if someone were to have a vast number of past lives, if they would be more advanced, say, than the average person, or, you know, what is the average... I mean, how many past lives do the people that you come in contact with have?
Well, typically, you know, I have a different ruler.
And we're getting
here
to our callers in just a moment, so hang on.
Yeah, we're getting to the callers. My past lives are basically has a physicality of has a boundary line. Now, I can go deep into past lives beyond the scope of numerical value.
You're talking about like past lives on other. You're talking about other planetary walks or
no,
other...
No, even on this planet.
Okay.
It can well be defined by the nature of one's birth date.
Okay.
The master number.
Right.
What master number you're at that's equatable to chakras, but also equatable to past life walks. So typically, most of us have had at least 5 or 6 past lives, most of us. And that isn't to say that the other past lives we may have had have already been resolved. We're not dealing with those energies anymore. We've done with them. and we're moving forward. Mm-hmm. But most of us have at least five or six active, maybe three to five, as much as six, active past lives that we're working on at
karma.
Any one time.
If it's like a do you have a total number, say?
Would you have
total number? I mean, you're working on, say, six past lives in this current incarnation, but then if we had ancient, I mean, some of us are ancient. Some of us are maybe not, don't have a lineage that reaches back into the beginning of time. You know, not all of us were cavemen.
No, not all of us were, but we have that collective gene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in our genes, and we do have an awareness of those things in our instincts and in the passage of time, because every lifetime we've had has been connected by the ancestors of that lifetime. So we do carry in us, in any given life that we have collected the background of that lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that we've misconstrued that we've actually gone through all the past lives since the beginning of time, when in all actuality, each lifetime that we're in has tapped into the historical and ancestral history of that particular lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes the study of humankind. So that's basically what it is, and it's very concentrated in its form. And that's also to say that in between lifetimes, we sometimes in the astral body travel to different parts of the planet. And in our astral body, we gather the information. It's almost like a alien from another world visiting certain areas of the globe and absorbing the energy thereof. Well, we sometimes in our astral journeys between our lifetimes, physical lifetimes, capture culture, capture human beings. Sometimes we practice on being guides for human beings before we come back again and rejoin the planet. So there are many different intricacies involved in the concept of what cosmic consciousness is, universal consciousness, collective unconsciousness, and the idea that just specifically how many past lives have we actually been in the physical form. That's a matter of that's a great question, but I think it's an easy, slippery answer to say, well, I've had 200 past lives. I usually hold myself back and scrutinize the subject matter when I'm hearing those kinds of statements.
I don't know why anyone would boast about that, because I wouldn't. I mean, if you're coming back to the planet that many times, that's a lot of karma. I mean, who wants all that karma? You know what I mean? Okay, we got to get to it. We actually dropped a couple callers, but you know it's fast food readings, I suppose. But we do have someone right here. Let me get to their call. 203. Good morning.
Good morning. Season greetings to you both.
Season greetings. That salutation. Who's this?
This is Soraya.
Hi, Soraya.
Hello. I'm calling. You know, I'm glad that that conversation had went forward, because I sit down and I'm there like, okay, being that we all share collectively the stream of consciousness, that wherever on the planet, anything that's going on, it don't matter, you're going to feel it some way, somehow. As long as you're living and you have a soul, you're going to feel it. And, you know, Neil, you are correct when you say it doesn't matter if you're black or white, because we do incarnate in different races for the sake of learning. You know, and this is supposed to be a form of evolution. You know, at some point, you know, I wonder if with my karma or my dharma, so to speak, because I notice with certain cultures, you know, I'm able to receive a special blessing from them, you know, and from other cultures, I am not able to receive any information unless I go study for myself, you know, so to understand, you know, that we are here, speaking for myself, to evolve, help my children to evolve past the mundane, you know, past the reality that I'm a firm believer that life just do not is just not on Earth, and that, you know, we do have other planes of existence that, you know, you would like to get to. And I haven't found my master yet to help me to achieve that level, you know, because I guess my question now is to see if in my karmic lifetime, have I reached a master number that will link me up to someone who is evolved enough to help me to ascend, so to speak?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, anyone, first of all, of any master number can potentially become enlightened. So I correct me if I'm wrong, Neil, but it doesn't take a specific master number to reach a transcendent state of being. I mean, maybe it's a little bit easier for higher master numbers because there's that higher energy.
Certainly not. I mean, a low master number can be involve itself in a once prior high master number.
Right.
So,
right.
No, and you can carry a certain degree of high intelligence and manner of speaking in a low master number.
And I want to also point out, Soroya, that, you know, the type of numerology that we're talking about here, it's a master number between 1 and 9. So any master number that's higher, like, or not master number, but any number that's higher, that comes to a higher total when adding up the birth date, is thereby reduced. So like an 11, which in many forms of numerology is supposedly this, you know, wonderful number with many blessings, you know, this is not exactly the same philosophy. So 11 is reduced in the form of numerology that we're discussing. So that would be a 2.
A
10 is a 1. So it's master numbers 1 through 9. But Neil, I'm going to hand it over
to
you.
Well, you know, we're talking about not just master numbers, but karmic numbers.
Right.
And we're talking
exactly.
about the fine science of numerology, which, again, Kristen and I are working on diligently in a book, a massive book. But you see, what your journey is, Soraya, your master number is 8. Now, that is the number of rebirth, and it's a high, intelligent number. It gathers with it in its epitome a sense of higher consciousness, rulership, rebirth, and, to believe it or not, material conquest, monetary conquest. It's got the symbol, it's got the basic symbol of Leo in it, but aside from that, it supersedes the seventh chakra. Now, what you've got interesting in your energy when you look at this and you make a fine study of it, which I think people should do, is look at your number system, 7, 9, and then 81. Now, your master number is 8. So the 7 and the 9, the 8 is hidden, tucked between it. And the 9, the 9 in your day is broken up by the 8 and the 1 in your year.
Right.
Now, your alpha and omega, which are very important concepts, first and last, your first is 7 and your last number is 1. There's your broken up 8. And that we're kind of looking at this journey because even 81, if you think quickly, Soraya, the 81, there's an 8, there's a drop of 7,
right.
2 of 1, and then 8. And 1 and 7 and 1, you see, this adds up to 9 again. So we have an 8, a 7, and then an 8 and 1, 9. So your month and your years have this weird kind of exchange. Now, you're 33 years old, and your karmic energies, verbatim, your karmic journey through life while you're working through your past life issues, has a hit of till the age of 35, when you're going to make a big change. That's 2 years from now.
Right.
And you're going through the process of finding spirituality and the transcendence of spirituality.
Right.
Your journey of to try to find the eternal secrets of spirituality is within your rebirth statement. Remember, between 7 and 9, you have a 2, and that's your second chakra, your sexual chakra. So you're actually more in and you're talking to us, which impresses me, on a more highly esoteric level of conversation. So you're already equipped to discover and decipher the codes of life, to figure out why your soul came back and to what degree you have to move towards in order to transcend the planet altogether.
I'm so confused because, you know, when I think that I find people that I feel that, you know, they give me goosebumps and I'm able to learn, I'm ready to learn. Like, I'm always in the seat of a student, you know. I can't get that information. they want to switch the subject on me. So I don't know, am I, you know, trying to go too much into it? Is it more ego-based instead of just, you know, allowing it to happen, you know, and experience the go through the experience without less intensity, so to speak, meaning that, you know, I'm not so hell-bound on having the answer, as opposed to, you know, I'm doing something like painting or something, and then it will come through that form. Or if I'm writing just a letter to myself, it will come through that form. Like, I haven't found that set avenue, you know, where I can find that final release. Because even in my orgasm, it's like I can still keep on going. I still haven't reached that level of ecstasy. You know what I mean? So.
Well, yeah, you see, but the metaphor is much to me like a car. You think of yourself as a car and how you balance the gas pedal. You know, you can go as fast or as slow as you want, but there's a certain balance. You kind of go with the flow of traffic. You can go fast at times, but you have the ability to move fast, but that doesn't mean you're going to avoid a collision. And
right.
You also have the ability to move slow, and that doesn't mean that you're going to confuse time. So we've got to look at the way that you balance your chakra systems and how you have the access to put your foot on the pedal, so to speak, and drive as fast as you want, but not without forsaking confusion or having some kind of collision in your mind, or feeling like your ego's getting out of hand. There's a certain control over your ultimate consciousness. But that is that the car is equipped to go. I mean, the car is equipped to, you know, you look at our speedometers and they go up to 120 miles an hour, but how often do we ever see that? Most of us never see that needle hit that speed zone, although it's there. So
right.
We try to figure out, how do we accelerate in our bodies with a higher form of consciousness without losing consciousness? And when you begin to lose consciousness, you got to kind of settle down and say, okay, I've got to maintain and check my energies to see that I'm not being too eager. Because there might have been something in your past lives. A lot of times what happens to us is that we come back and we're so eager to make up for what we missed out on, especially if we had spiritual journeys that we had already walked through, that we're so eager to get back there and make it right that we're almost answering the questions before the question was asked.
Exactly. So, I understand that.
Slow it down, because you know, our topic is past lives. You may have to reach back into a time when you missed a beat, when you missed something. When your ego overwhelmed you and you forgot to pay attention to other concerns of the planet.
Right.
That would be your egocentric circumference. And this is what I think is most important when we get deeper into the consciousness of any given person, what they're going through in a unique state.
Okay. So my question, and I'm going to allow the other callers to speak, because my understanding of consciousness is, you know, being that aware, because what I'm trying to seek is going into that unconscious state without getting lost or drowning myself, like you was explaining to me, and so that I can align it, because I know something is out of order, because my money, my energy for money is not in order itself. So being that that is an essential part of my existence and everyone else's, because you need your daily, you know, your daily essentials, is like, why is it that I'm not getting it together? And I understand that it is a lesson, so that when I do, hopefully I recognize and not move past it, and I can stop and smell that rose, you know, I'm able to, you know, catch hold of it. I do be driving myself crazy, I'm not going to lie to you.
let's briefly talk about the formula, the equation of your life. Your master number is 8. Now, as you approach the age of 35, which is a roughly just shy of 2 years, your journey in life is moving from the 9 to in the day to the 8 in the year. Now, that's the 17, you see, and that's a broken up 8. Now, don't forget, that 8 is about money. That 8 is about rebirth and money. when we have the 9 and the 8 that add up to 17, what we're left with in your year is a 7 and a 1. Because remember, you're 7981. So
right.
Now we have 9 and 8 is 17, and then lo and behold, what's left over is 1 and 7, or 7 and 1. Now that's another broken up 8. So what this means, Aurea, is that you are, as you approach the age of 35, you're learning how to get your consciousness in balance with your monetary lower energy fields, that's still foundation money, and you're learning how to get it together. So you have about a year and 10 months or whatever it is, 8 months, to get this attitude formulated in such a way that your higher self is now in connection with your monetary lower value energies, not that money isn't important, but that would
right.
be it's balanced. So you're learning how to balance the energy, and your code designates to me that the age of 33 through the age of 35, you're going to have some monetary challenges. But this is because somewhere between spirituality and transcendence, your ego got in the way of that journey in a past life. So you're back to establish that journey. Remember, too, in the intricacies of analyzing numbers, between 7 and 9 in your day and month, you have a separation of 2. Your karmic year is 35. That's another separation of 2. And
right.
this, so there's great ego energy that you're walking through and establishing in order to repair the basis of making money without adding to it karma. Because I probably think you probably made money in a past life and received it with karma as well. It wasn't totally a purity of making money. There was something wrong in there.
Right.
So you're establishing that essence and then thereby rebirthing. But, of course, the more elaborate stages of this discussion, you know, is beyond the radio reading. But that's what I decipher in your journey. It's more, you know, we're kind of dealing in a higher esoteric dialogue. I understand that I sometimes go to those places. People tend to get lost because it becomes too intellectual. But I don't think that really that's our problem. I don't think life is as simplistic. You know, when am I going to get a house? When am I going to get a boyfriend? Just give me the date. That's all I want to know. You know, I'll pray. I'm an angel, you're an angel, and everything's grand. I don't think that's the way the universe was designed. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
So I hope that kind of helps to open up some form of discussion so you can to get some light on your life and where it's going. But suffice to say, Sori, you're on a terrific journey. When you reach 35, it's going to be pretty, pretty amazing.
Okay. Okay.
Hey,
God bless. Thank you so very much. God bless you both. When I'm on this show, truly.
I'm sorry, we missed what you said. There was a gap. You always get what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I always become edified when I'm on this show. Yeah, so I'm grateful. Mm-hmm.
We're grateful to have you as a listener and as a caller, Soraya. So thank you for reaching out to us today. And if Soraya wants to get in touch with Neil directly, 562-596-7818. Well, it's a slow day today on the Neil Baker Psychic Hour.
Like molasses, huh?
I guess it's a little bit like that.
Well, you know, it gives us time to maybe in purposes of the archives talk about the depth of what a past life is, because I think we do have access to some of these past life energies. We talk about going into past life regression. We can be guided. The idea of a past life regression really gets a little tricky because our brains are equipped to have a full imagination, and we can go into all kinds of imaginative states about what we think is a past life. You know, I've guided people through past lives and let them take control of the panel, and they're suddenly talking about being King Nebuchadnezzar, or there's King Solomon,
right.
or Cleopatra. I've had so many people tell me they were Cleopatra. I think Cleopatra doesn't even know who she is anymore. But, you know...
So let me ask you a question. Do you think Cleopatra actually transcended the planet after she died?
Yeah, and she, well, while she was down here, she was Elizabeth Taylor.
No, I mean, seriously, but, because, you know, you hear these, or, you know, I was, you know, people that claim that they were very, very high-level beings that you would think maybe might not return to the earth after their life that they led in a very high vibration. And then, you know, you hear that they've supposedly come back and now they're waiting tables at, you know.
You know, I mean, the king can come back and be a slave. The king can come back and be a humble laborer. Elizabeth Taylor. Cleopatra, not to mention Claudette Corbeau, if you know your history of Cleopatra's in Hollywood. Now, she had a whole, they had a different concept. They had the underworld, and they had the Book of the Dead, and they were Egyptians, and they journeyed into the underworld after death. And she was, of course, bitten by the snake, so she more or less had a suicidal zone going on there. But, and there was love for Mark Antony.
Oh, yeah, so, you know, return to the planet might be in order for someone
well,
who is
could
on
be.
That level. But.
That journey, I mean, I appreciate all forms of journey that we take on the planet, whether it's through the underworld or the Book of the Dead, or whether we're arising and ascending to higher orders of what the kind of caste system is of post-life existence. And so we take on different concepts of where the soul goes and what it goes through. And so in that respect, the Egyptians, I mean, the reincarnation, there was the River Styx, and they moved through that area to the underworld, and they had a different zone that they went to, not necessarily one that they returned to the earth. So we have to look deeply at what the concept and the belief pattern is, and we just can't say uniformly that one element of past life journeys is uniform for every form of consciousness.
Right.
I think it's very vast out there.
Uh-huh.
It is. It's like a huge world marketplace. And I have yet to find one linear concept out there that I can ascribe to, although I have chosen to ascribe to certain linear concepts of the universe. That's by choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Neil. Well, we do have a couple more callers, so I think we should continue this, though, on Monday, because, we never have enough time to get deeply into the subjects that we talk about as deeply as we'd like to, so I think we should definitely continue it, because it's very interesting. So we have 936 area code and then 704, so both of you will be getting in touch with us today. Good morning, 936.
Good morning. This is Debbie, and I'm in Texas.
Hi, Debbie. Double D, double B, I E.
It's actually D E. It's actually Deborah.
Oh, Deborah.
Uh huh.
Deborah. We'll call you Deborah. And what's your birthday,
mm-hmm.
Deborah?
It's February 1st, 1952.
Okay. And what's your question today?
My question is, basically, I'm looking forward to what the future holds for me, and I know that that's not exactly what you deal with, but perhaps with the numerology, you might give me some clues.
Oh, well, it is actually exactly what we deal with, so I just want to...
Very good. I'm glad to hear that. I was thinking it was mostly into the past lives, but...
Oh, no,
thank you.
That's our topic for the day, but Neil is a psychic, connects with...
Oh, no, I love going into the future. I'm more interested in the future than the past. Well, I love the past, but the future is my cup of tea. I love going in there.
It is mine, too. I look forward to each and every day as it unfolds. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, your future energy is an interesting one because as you move towards your future, Debbie, I mean, you're 62 now, so you've actually gone through... 26 cycles of your life. Imagine that, 26 cycles
mm-hmm.
of your master numbers, too. Now, that, too, is very interesting because women who are twos, they have a strong vitality. They have that sexual kind of energy, but sexuality can be diversely defined as creativity, rebirthing. It doesn't just mean sexuality in its most coarse language. And you do have that zone. You have a two in your month. You have a two in your year. You have a strong, visible language talent, so the communications are strong. What you're supposed to have, Deborah, is a union with other human beings. So as much as you move forward into the world on your egocentric individual pattern, you are to you're meant to join your energies with a counterpart. And that element will be a relationship. Now, indeed, in around 1972, 73, well, from 1971 to 1973, when you were roughly 20 years old, shy of, was there a change in your life?
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge change in my life, yes.
Huge change.
Can you articulate that?
I can, if you don't mind sharing. I jumped out of a standard lifestyle into a Mormon lifestyle for 22 years, right at 71, and it took me 22 years to kind of wake up.
Wow.
So my whole life was centered around, you know, that belief system, and then I went to the top of a mountain and actually spent 3 days fasting doing a vision quest and got my answer and walked away. So, yes, that was a big time in my life.
A big time. And for 21 years, approximately 21 to 22 years, and your first two numbers are 2 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so 1 is part of your code. Your 5 and 2 is a split up 7, which is your spiritual renaissance, which occurred after that time zone. So we're getting close. 42, somewhere where you 42 change, and now you're 62. You're at an 8 zone element. So that conquest of understanding how to move into religion and then move out of it, spirituality and revelations that are beyond just the origins of concrete religion is part of your journey. Now, was there a divorce along the way anywhere?
Yes. Same time frame. Out I went.
Yeah. So your divorce. You're collecting these karmic characters. And forgive me, that's not past life necessarily. You're just collecting this karmic character. You have to have a movement energy with him. Then there's a divorce. There might be at least one child. It might have been a female. Do you have any children?
I actually have 4 from that marriage. 2 girls, 2 boys.
Yeah. So at least one child, and at least one female. So, you know, I'm 1 for 3, but there's still accuracy there. So that movement goes in. The 4 children are actually, in retrospect, appropriate to you because your first and last numbers are 2 and 2, which signifies sexual union, and then the children that come out of it. So we've got that zone going on. You know what I'm seeing, Deborah? As I'm speaking to you, at the age of 62, I'm seeing everyone wants to write a book. Oh, my God, everyone wants to write a book. But today we can because of the Internet, self-publishing. We all get to do it. And I'm seeing you doing some literary creation forthcoming. Now, that may have a diversity of definition, but there's a core element of the verbal chakra going into your life and you writing something that might have something to do with travel or the spiritual nature of travel, as travel, spiritual nature travel energies go, that might be part of you. Have you ever had an interest in that?
Actually, that's probably my biggest passion in life, is travel and taking other people to sacred spots, introducing them to themselves again. So, yes, I love that concept.
Well, if you could write a book that is a book, a pioneer of its kind, that describes how you as a guide in a book can offer your experiences and a little bit of a guideline into how one approaches moving to a sacred spot and connecting to it and what it's meant to you as a guide and as a promoter of that idea, and maybe some guidelines towards it, you could write a fantastic book.
You realize you are very incredibly insightful because you have just reached right down into my soul. That's exactly the direction that sounds right to me.
Yeah. Well, then it's very exciting. If I were you, I would get on this and mm-hmm. and let creativity be your guide and start mm-hmm. to approach this book and, mm-hmm. you know, making it a hitchhiker's guide to spiritual sights, you know?
Love it. Mm-hmm. I think that's really brilliant, Neil. I really do.
Well, good. Good luck.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Hey, Deborah can join us on Facebook. That's linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour, and she can also reach Neil directly, 562-596-7818. Well, she was happy. Got more than she bargained for, I think, which is good. All righty, let's bring on 704 area code. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi, who's
this? This is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Hi. What's your location and birth date, Melissa?
I am in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, and my birth date is September 13th, 1969.
Okay. And what, I don't think we've talked to you before, Melissa.
No. Nope. Oh. First time call.
Welcome. Glad to have you. What's your question today?
I'm game for anything. Any future numerology reading, messages from spirit.
Okay, 1320 plus. Yeah, I did add wrong. Okay, 3811 2.
Yeah.
No, yes.
3811 2. So I got 2.
Alrighty.
Well, well, Melissa, the complexity is certainly there. You're in numerical value, you're compounded, meaning that in numerical value, we have to keep reducing two numbers into one number. So the way your birth date's arranged, it adds up to 38. Now, that's 3 plus 8. That's 11. 1 plus 1, 2. So actually, you're like Deborah. You're a 2 in your master number, but instead of it being a 20 equals 2, you're a 38 equals 11 equals 2. So you've got a certain amount of karma that has been on your energy field. So in coming back, and you've got a lot of nines you've got it in your month, you've got it in your year. That's a very powerful number. So you're actually a very powerful. There's a certain power and there's a certain vitality about you. Someone who could just as well be alone as be involved in a social setting and be a part of that. So you have a nice balance between being an individual and being in sort of isolation with yourself. As much as you combine your efforts and you become part of a group and a group atmosphere and lead you know, whatever creative aspects there are that you need to do. But that doesn't mean to say that you haven't had your trials and tribulations, maybe some harsh family upbringing. There might have been a divorce in there, or at least a severe separation that was shy of an actual marriage, but there would have been a disunion after a very intense union. So that becomes a shattering of energy. There might have been, I know you're 45 years old, but there might have been a harsh loss of a human being up to this point in time that affected you, that I feel, because I feel there's a spirit on the other side that's beckoning you as I'm speaking. I'm not quite sure who it is. It feels very female to me. So that is part of what I'm picking up in the journey of your life. There seems to be some confusion between your mother and father energies. So I don't know if they fought or bickered or if one is gone or if they divorced, but there seems to be some sense of friction in there that seems to be intriguing to me. Also, do you have any siblings?
I have an older sister and a younger brother.
And are any of them, to your knowledge, have any of them gone through any intense troubling times, or have they been basically conventional and at peace?
Well, my father was an alcoholic, so we're all children of the alcoholic.
Yeah.
So we're not a super close family.
Yeah, that's the disintegration and the tension that I was feeling when I was describing the friction in your family. And when you say your father was an alcoholic, is your father crossed over?
He has, yes.
Yeah. So I'm feeling the energy of someone beckoning you. You know, the energy I was mentioning before and alluding to the fact that it might have been a female energy, but it could be his attempt to reach a female. So I could be gathering the energy of his soul. You know, when you cross over, you're like, man, you get hit with the book of records, and you really look at what you've done, and you're stripped of your ego. So a lot of human beings, that when they go into the soul state, they are really faced with reality. And their attempt on a soul level is to try to rectify things. So, you know, that is, I think, part of the bridge here. I'm also seeing a bridge around you. I don't know why. Have you ever lived by a high bridge, or has there been any bridges, so to speak, that you had to transfer from going from one job to another? A lot of people have to, I don't know, North Carolina, what kind of bridge state you guys have, but.
No, I'm pretty landlocked. I'm just a regular small bridges around here.
There are bridges, though.
There are bridges.
Yes.
Did you ever have to cross or drive over a bridge to get to work?
No.
I don't know why I'm getting a weird vibration about bridges with you, and, you know, I don't know yet where it's coming from. Was there any rural energy around you, you know, farm, as opposed to direct city living?
I live outside the city, yes, kind of a rural area.
Uh-huh. And, okay, so I'm starting to get, what I'm starting to do is get into the intricate notes of a reading with you, is what's starting to happen. At one time, were you working and you lost your job or you lost your occupation? Did you go through anything that was challenging and somewhat devastating in terms of your career?
Yes, several years ago, we were all laid off. I had just bought a house too, and I was like, "Wow, okay." But yeah, that was kind of like heartbreaking because I liked the job.
Well, I'm picking up on that energy, Melissa. So, what's happening with you, unique to this show, is that I'm starting to pick up on some issues to work out, because there may be some blocks pertaining to those issues that's keeping you from moving forward as you approach your 46th year. So I'm thinking that there's something in there that's got to be unblocked. It might be something you're carrying from the last 20 years or so, and it's just been accumulating in effect. But I still feel that there's something that's got to be let go of. Was there any divorce, Melissa, any bitterness in a separation?
Of my parents or from myself?
Of yourself.
Not really bitterness. That was probably 15 years ago. I did recently end a 6-year relationship last year, which I'm kind of a little miffed over still.
The divorce factor, you have been divorced, so there's a validation. And then 6 years ago, you went through another, quote, kind of divorce.
No, she just split up. Last year.
Oh, with a 6-year, you just split up last year.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, and she's still having some negative feelings about
Well,
that.
Then that's what I'm picking up on. So there's an element of, and even though you've gotten over your divorce and it was, you know, what it was, there's a little bit of thematic material there that has to be sorted out a little bit. Did any, you had children?
I have. One son, he's 18.
One son. Any learning disabilities, any learning challenges, any slowness in education or problems in academic throughout his years?
Oh yeah. He was diagnosed ADD a few years back. He's got a deficit.
Yeah. So you see, Melissa, what I'm doing is I'm beginning to get into the knit and gritty, the bolts and screws of your energy field, to figure out what's going on with this watch. So so I can, you know, help to restore it in some way. Of course, you're the one in power. Who had a, did anyone ever have a pilot's license or could fly a plane? Did you ever know anyone remotely that flew a plane?
No, I'm kind of dating a guy now. He was in the Navy and he was in a helicopter crew. He's helicopter crew.
Well, that's it. That's right. So so that's starting to come in a little bit. You know, what's happening, short of making a direct prediction, I think what's happening in this reading is I'm starting to get deep into other elements of your life that might help, once they're unraveled, to promote a smooth sail for you forthcoming, because you do have definitely a growth energy coming up. I mean, look at this, Melissa. You're born 6-9. Now, those are symbols. They graduate in degree from 6 to 9. 9 is powerful. It was your first number. But now instead of sliding down to a 1, it goes from 6 to 9. So you regain your power as you move forward in life. And part of the element of you moving forward in life, of course, is going to be involved in the third eye, which is our 6th chakra, which is apparent in your year. And so I feel that there's some visionary element going on here. Melissa, who's involved in art? Who was the, if you had to pick someone who had some artistic talent, who would that be? Go ahead.
There's a woman I met at the spiritual center. She's artistic. She's very artistic.
Uh-huh. Well, we're starting to get into tribal zones now. I'm starting to get into the element, and your spiritual center involvement is starting to move forward with me as I gather momentum in analyzing just where you're going. But I think what we're doing with you is that we're unraveling a certain amount of karma that you're working through, that you've gathered mm-hmm. together for this lifetime. You're working through that. That has to do a little bit with relationships, too. And then we're moving to a higher transcendent attitude that I think is piqued by, or at least temporarily piqued by, your spiritual center intervention. And I think we're moving forward into that zone. But I think, too, like with our former caller, former two callers, you're on a quest, too. The three callers I've gotten today are sort of on spiritual quests, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And that's a compliment. Because that, to me, I think is a higher order of consciousness than just, you know, some of the basic needs we have in life.
I've been told that. I've been told that I am on a spiritual quest, and I've just got to clear some heart chakra. I've got a block there. So.
Well, that's because you're 13 in your day is a broken up heart chakra, mm-hmm. 4. And, yeah, I would agree. There's got to be some degree of getting in there and figuring that out. Now, that may be reached over from your father or some such thing that might be part of the element that you're having to work through.
Yes, I think so.
It's definitely worth further exploration, Melissa, but we thank you for calling our show, for finding us today, and if you want to stay connected with us, please do follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can reach Neil, 562-967-818. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay, Neil, well, we're out of time.
Well, we're out of time. Okay.
Well, thanks so much, and for our listeners, we are back on the air on Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Please join us then. Thanks to everybody for joining us today.